Well, hey there, you are listening to episode 33 of Successful Bodyworker Podcast. I am your host, Zach Mayfield, creator and founder of Successful Bodyworker, where helping and healing therapists always comes first. Whether you practice ashiatsu, chair massage, deep tissue relaxation, doesn't matter to me. I will have the tips and tricks to help you stay in the game for the long haul so you can keep doing what you do best, working on clients, of course. If it's your first time here, what the heck took you so long to get here? Welcome. And to all of my listeners who have been listening for the past few months, I want to thank each and every one of you. I love you all. Today, we are going to be talking about anterior shoulder dominance and how it happens in some ways to combat it so that you can practice without having to worry about injuries that happen as a result of anterior shoulder dominance, like posterior neck strains, bulging discs, impingement of the glenoid fossa, thoracic outlet syndrome, pec strains, and rotator cuff tears, just to name a few. I actually see this a lot in therapists, and if you think about how much we use our shoulders to do certain strokes, it just makes sense. When doing work like myofascial and deep tissue, there are a lot of static compressions which place a lot of torque and pressure on the shoulder joint, pec major and minor, deltoid and rotator cuff, so it's imperative that we make some effort to help this in our physical self-care regimens. Just adding a few exercises and manual release work here and there a few times a week can really go far in helping to ease some of this pressure. So, what are some ways that we can help avoid some of this pressure buildup and injury related to anterior shoulder dominance? Well, first, let's look at what actually happens from the waist up when anterior dominance happens. First off, you have actual anterior shoulder chronic flexion that's kind of results because of the tight and overused pecs and deltoids, and a lot of cases, flexion of the actual thoracic spine from poor posture. Perhaps it's maybe a social norm to look comfortable 24/7 by slouching over and slouching forward, or it's just a bad habit attained from years of slouching, but having a spine continually in flexion can cause the pecs and deltoids to become chronically tight and fatigued. This causes the traps and rhomboids to stretch, resulting in pain and adhesions to try and maintain normalcy in these tissues. I think this is the body's defense mechanism, which means well, but it just ends up causing more harm than good. The neck also is affected in this as well. The more slouch over you are, the more work the posterior cervical neck tissues have to work in order to keep your head upright. This places a lot of unnecessary and undeserved tension on the neck muscles, resulting in posterior neck disc issues in some cases. Did you know that for every inch your head is away from the neutral position, it adds 10 pounds? If you think about how often you look at your cell phone and how much your neck is in actual flexion to do that, your head can be an extra 50 to 60 pounds when it's all bent forward. So the other thing is your lower back. Your low back tends to follow suit when your shoulders and T-spine are in flexion by curving the spine into more of a kyphotic shape rather than having a nice natural curve to the spine. This will eventually place stress on the posterior disc of the lower back, and you know the implications of that. So now, back to trying to prevent anterior dominance. The very first thing we can do is an obvious one, but it's probably one that's harder to fix, so just stick with me for a moment. To help this the most, we really need to change the actual habit of how anterior dominance happens in the first place. How do you complete your techniques? Are your shoulder blades retracted or protracted? Is your spine in flexion when it should be in neutral? Should you be more upright rather than bent over to do deeper work with your elbow? These are all things that you want to look at and think about the things that you do naturally and habitually. The way you do things may work best for your clients and may get you that extra $5 tip added, but is it really worth it to chip away at your posture and your shoulder health for the long term? If you think about how long you are actually in these positions, it amounts to many, many hours per month, and when you add that over years, you can really start to see why people get injured. As I always say, you can strength train and do all the manual technique release therapies on yourself that you want, but the only thing that really works, changing the actual habit. You can spend a lot of time on this stuff, but it's only amounting to a few hours of total work a week. If you are really, you know, one of those people that have any of these habits that I've listed before in this episode, what you can do is think about keeping your shoulder blades back and retracted if you tend to be more protracted. This is most times habitual and sometimes due to tight pecs. So one of the things that I do when I need to make sure mine are pinned back is to start each session with a Y and T shoulder exercise. Simply put, you start by raising your arms overhead to form a Y. Keep the shoulder blades back and retracted the entire time and hold that position for 45 seconds. When you're done with that, immediately go down to 0 degrees to form a T and hold that for 45 seconds. So arms up in the air to form a Y, 45 seconds. Arms down immediately after to 0 degrees, form a T. Hold these both for 45 seconds. This works to really activate those traps and rhomboids and rear delts. And if you do this before every session, this will develop a long lasting good habit to help you get into proper position each and every time. We are developing muscle memory, and this will help with that protraction. When it comes to having your thoracic spine too often in flexion and bending over to do deeper work with elbows and forearms, what really helps is to simply just stay more upright when you do deeper strokes. If you aren't accustomed to this, it can be kind of awkward at first, but put yourself in a split power stance where your feet are kind of shoulder width apart, and then have your leading foot in front of you and the pushing leg in back of you. So if you can picture yourself for a minute working the right side of your client's body, have your right foot in front and the left foot in back to push off of. So from here, start your stroke with most of your weight on the pushing leg. So the left leg, if we're working the right side of the body, push with that left leg and transfer to the leg in front of you as you start to feel your body weight transfer as you move through the stroke. This power and weight transfer I have found has been way more helpful, especially when the table is at the right height. This works particularly well with myofascial and deep sustained strokes. It's easier on the body too, because you can put more of your body weight into your arm to do the stroke, and it doesn't take very much effort to do. So that's number one, changing the habits that cause anterior shoulder dominance in the first place. Number two is strengthening the antagonist muscles of the anterior shoulder girdle. Like I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, a lot of the techniques that we do in these Western modalities are very, very, very shoulder anterior dominant anyway. So these muscles do a lot of the work for you as a therapist. The muscles that we want to strengthen are the traps, rhomboids, rear delts, lats, rotator cuffs, and build a lot of static strength in the serratus anterior. And what I will do in this episode is I will list an exercise for you to do on these muscles. So I strongly recommend becoming a member of Successful Bodyworker today, because we have an exercise index that lists each and every one of these antagonist exercises, even for different body groups like the legs, the abs, back, shoulders, that kind of stuff. Strength is a key part of physical self-care. So, you know, we need our muscles to be strong and conditioned to be able to exceed the pressure and torque that we place on our muscles and joints. Starting with the traps, the most important trap fibers out of the upper, middle, and lower are the latter two. What you can do for the mid and lower is a face pull where the tricep rope is lined up on a weighted pulley at face height. And all you do is extend the shoulders while externally rotating the shoulder joint. This counts as a rotator cuff and rear delt exercise because it activates these two muscles to a great degree as well. This also is one of the safest options for shoulder exercises, as the angle provides a full range of motion usage that is safe for rotation. To start out, I would recommend completing 15 reps with a slow and controlled tempo of movement so that you start feeling a burn right away. As far as the rhomboids, a really good exercise that doesn't require any equipment is a wall slide. You start with your back against the wall and raise your arms up to an overhead press position where you are starting to reach for the sky every time. Start by raising your arms up to form a Y. Go all the way down as far as you can. The more you can tuck your shoulder blades, the more the rhomboids will stretch and activate. Since the rhomboids are more of a trap assistant to retract the shoulder blades, heavier resistance isn't really necessary to be effective. It's important to note that if you've had prior shoulder injuries, that this may be difficult to do, this wall slide exercise. So just play around with it. And if you have any shoulder joint pain, then back off immediately. So for lats, one that I love to target the lats almost exclusively is a lat pullover, not to be confused with the pull down. For this exercise, you need a cable pulley and a straight bar attached above the head. This will ensure that you can fully extend your arms at the top. This can be done with your arms shoulder width apart or slightly wider. And all you're doing is pulling the bar down towards the line of your hips in a diagonal line without bending the arms. You are using solely your lats to extend the humerus here. I do these with more resistance than any of the other exercises I've listed today, as the lats are a bigger and stronger group that can handle more resistance load placed on the shoulder. Another good one that isn't commonly talked about is the serratus anterior, and this muscle's main job is to stabilize the shoulder joint and act sort of as a shock absorber. This is an incredibly important muscle to the integrity of the shoulder joint and will help aid in combating a lot of the wear and tear that we place on our shoulders from working with clients. A good exercise that you can do for this is shoulder protraction with a strong emphasis on the end range. What I mean by this is holding the actual protraction of the shoulder for an extended period of time, say 10 seconds each rep. You can do this without any equipment just by getting into a push-up position. If you can't hold your body weight, try starting out on all fours and just push your shoulder blades away from your body to get into protraction and hold the top for 5 to 10 seconds. So push away your shoulder blades and hold the top for 5 to 10 seconds. Really feel those serratus anterior muscles working. A good rep range to shoot for here is 5 reps. These may be pretty humbling at first, so I recommend doing these no more than twice a week. So that was number 2, strengthening the antagonist muscles of the anterior shoulder. And for number 3, finally, is manual therapies. You know, doing healing practices on your own. Now, you're a massage therapist, so likely you know what to do in this department. So I will keep it short and sweet for this one. One of the favorites of manual release therapies that I do is a ball tack and stretch for my pec. The most effective way to do this is getting a ball in the corner of a wall where you can freely move the arm to the side you are working through flexion and extension. You know, bring the arm up behind you to stretch that pec at the end. So this is going to be the most effective for getting the fascia and muscle tissue to really stretch and release any knotted and adhered tissue that is causing discomfort in the shoulder joint. Another good one that I do a lot is an anterior deltoid stretch. To effectively do this stretch, find a surface that is slightly below waist height. For this, I use a table and place my hand on it in a supine position with the back of my hand facing down and lean forward so that my humerus is turned upward. This is really, really stretching that anterior deltoid fiber and is a good way to really fight that forward posture. All right, gang, I hope these 3 fixes help you to fight anterior shoulder dominance if you are suffering right now from it. In this episode, we talked about first thinking about some habits that we do on a daily basis and in practice that may add to your shoulder anterior dominance in some ways to correct these habits, like starting each session with a standing Y and T exercise to help activate those shoulder blade retractors. We also talked about the most important muscles to strengthen to combat this posture, like traps, rear delts, rhomboids, lats, and rotator cuff, and some exercises that you can do for these specific muscles. And finally, number 3, a few manual therapies to help you loosen and treat these tightly contracted anterior fibers in order to get them back into a neutral position. If you do all of these fixes on a regular basis and almost make them a new habit for yourself, then I know for sure that this will help relieve a lot of your pain, tension, and torque placed on your shoulders and upper back from anterior shoulder dominance. All right, guys, have a good one and stay tuned for another installment of Successful Bodyworker Podcast. Hey, everybody, if you like this episode and you're looking for more of an in-depth solution for injury prevention, strength gain, financial self-care, and limiting self-beliefs, then check out SuccessfulBodyworker.com. This is your number one resource for all things therapist self-care. Inside, you will find in-depth courses, webinars, Q&A calls, and an awesome tribe of therapists that all want to help you achieve the longevity you only thought was possible. Don't wait for an injury or burnout to happen. Level up your strength, self-care, and longevity today with Successful Bodyworker. See you all on the inside.